Okay, we embrace good news here and highlight it just as often as we can. And there is good news because work has finally commenced on the construction of the new primary care centre in Dunfanaghy. €2.5 million going to be spent. And as we know, it's faced numerous delays after planning permission was granted way back in April 2019. It's April 2023 now. Dr. Paul Stewart is GP in Dunfanaghy and Creasla. And this is very welcome news, Paul. Better late than never.
Good morning, Greg. Yes, this is great news. It's been a long time in the coming, as you say, but it's great news for the people of Dunfanaghy, but also for the people and the community in Creasla who would be using the facility as well. And God knows, could do with a bit of good news.
Yeah, for
sure. So we're delighted.
And you know, the longer it goes from planning permission being granted till work starting, we get nervous, don't we? So it's been a long 4 years, but as I say, is it 4 years? Maybe it's five. No, it's four. Better late than ever. Great to see work underway. And things should progress quite quickly from here onwards, Paul.
Yes, I'm hoping. I mean, we originally were told that we were going to be in the premises on Easter 2023. So here we are. Hopefully, I'm told we might be in for next summer. So that is good. But look, this is due to a lot of hard work by a number of people. Joe McHugh, of course, and Pat the Cope has been a great supporter of us over all these years. So I think they should, on this day, be commended, you know.
Indeed.
And they kept the pressure up.
Yeah, you need that. You need that. The McCallion Group, obviously, they did the Buncrana Primary Care Centre. So we know the quality of their work too. The people of Dunfanaghy, Creasla and surrounds can look forward to a great facility, hopefully, the middle of next year.
Yes, I mean, the building in Buncrana is a beautiful building. And so we're delighted to have the McCallions on board as well. This is going to be a big building. I was looking at the original plans. Mm. I mean, they may have changed, but the surgery just takes up about a quarter of the building. The rest is made up of primary care offices and so on. I think I counted 18 different offices and with facilities for home health, public health nurses, occupational therapists, physiotherapists, and possibly an ambulance bay, which would be very welcome. If it's survived the original plans to this day.
Okay.
So, Greg, couldn't be.
All right. Unfortunately, the line failed us there. But Dr. Paul Stewart, who's the GP in Dunfanaghy and Creasla, thank you so much for your time. And as I say, great to be able to focus on some good news. Brendan Devenny is the presenter of the Highland Radio DL Debates podcast, producer as well, all round. Well, it's, you know, it's all about you, Brendan. Come here. Good morning to you. I don't know. I mean, it's sport, right? And we're only talking about sport. But yesterday was depressing. I think it kind of really, and this is no disrespect to any players or individual performances, I think it kind of really was a 70-odd minute advert for the state of Donegal GA on and off the pitch.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised.
No, you flagged it in fairness.
No, look, and
Donegal went into that game as favourites, and it was you who,
well,
amongst others. But
I thought we'd lose yesterday if I was in my heart of hearts. Obviously, you're going up there hoping for a victory. I just felt that after the league campaign we had, that we still hadn't got, I think, any shape to our team in terms of having a defensive structure, and then the players that used to play through aren't there anymore. And I just think it's going to take this time a while, this team to find their feet and find their way.
Who's going to help them find their feet? No disrespect to the lads looking after the team at the moment, but why was a manager and management team like we normally see not brought in to try and kickstart this process as we headed into the championship? I mean, do people who made those decisions not have questions to answer?
Well, listen, Greg, if we're really honest about it, nobody was actually looking for the job. You remember, if we're going way back to the drawn-out process, there was a lot of people speculating about, obviously, Kevin and Lacey coming in. You know, they had spoke about taking the job. They didn't formally go for the job. They pulled out then later on. So this management team was kind of put together, and there wasn't many people, you know. I think for SP Barrett out in Milford was the only one I think came forward and had put his hands up outside of the boys that ended up getting the job. So there wasn't this queue of people.
Well, why
to
is it such an unattractive job then?
I think because I think a lot of people realise we're about to hit a period of transition, and that transition would have been tough enough. We were stable when the likes of, obviously, Michael Murphy left. That would have been a problem. But as it was at the time when he left, things really started to, I suppose, unravel a bit. I mean, we had five debutants there yesterday, Greg, and that's why I'm a wee bit, you know, Kieran McColgan, Young O'Donnell, Tobin, Luke McGlynn, like, you know, making your debut for Donegal is still a big thing. I just felt with going up to Park Essler, I'd watched and talked to Down people and seen how they played. They have a rigid defensive structure, which I just felt that over the course of the game would probably we would crash on it a bit, and they would. They had their D well protected. They were very, very rigid. Now, it was a dangerous game, Greg, because if we had to get into a lead, we could have potentially beat them. But you just think when teams play that system, and because we were lacking in confidence, which was natural from the league, and you look at the league then, were we better than those last couple of league games? Yes, but was opposition better? No, these definitely weren't.
Well, you see, I've just noted on social media, for what it's worth, a lot of people sort of making comparisons between a Division 1 team playing a Division 3 team and what happened in other games, the Armagh game, for example, and what have you. But I think, too, in the last conversation, you quite rightly pointed out that maybe Down are ahead of Donegal now. Maybe they're a team on the up, and we are a Division 3 team. It's just going to take another year to get there. Now, hopefully it won't, but, you know, maybe Down were ahead of us going into that game, but not a lot of people seem to be seeing that.
Down very unlucky not to get promoted last year, Greg. They were right up and about there. I think it might have been a head-to-head with Fermanagh that might have been the difference going into the last game or something. So they were right in the mix to get promoted. So if they had we were in the same division going into this season. So this thing about three, Division 1 and 3, doesn't make a lot of sense. If Down had a mediocre Division 3, right, and we were still in Division 1, then yeah, you could have brought that into the mix. But at the end of the day, we are now a Division 2 team. That's where we're at. And Down will be very
Should
much
be
pushing.
A Division 2 team, yeah. Arguably. Yeah.
Down are very much looking to be in Division 2. So that gap of the leagues wasn't really well. Listen, are Down a great team? No, they aren't. And they were actually missing a couple of better players as well. I mean O'Hagan and Keelan Mooney, for me, is probably two of their best footballers. They were both out as well. So we were missing a lot. They were missing a lot. You probably have seven or eight players there in the mix, Greg, yesterday for different reasons. McFadden Ferry's injury, you know, Mogan. Obviously, the three O'Donnells from this town are definitely good enough to be on that side yesterday and have added so much to it. You know, you have McBertie's injury, Ryan McHugh's injury. Then you have Langan going off. You know, Greg, you know, Oisin Gallen's only coming back from injury. Let's say you put those players into that team yesterday. Donegal won that game quite easily. So you're looking at this from a Donegal perspective. Like, there is another story there.
If ifs and ands, like, you know.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty big one, though.
Of course it is, but I think there's a lot of people out there that see everything that's going on. And I know you are always trying to play level, and there's an awful lot of people who's very quick to criticise the county board and believe that's the root of all problems. And you're a voice out there, I'm not saying you're defending them, but you perhaps see it from both sides, right?
Yeah.
But at what point then do we say there is a crisis here that does require, whether it's justified or not, a bit of a root and branch change at all levels of the association?
Well, I mean, that's a deep one. Like, if we're going into the whole thing of the setup of county board, obviously we had our academy in that, you know, that's a whole massive story on its own. I think the senior team right now, as he stands, if we had those players back, we're a different team. You know, I think obviously there'll be new management coming in next year. I think they have to be given like at least a 4-year tenure, and none of this looking at it or reviews and anything like that. They have to build a team again under Donegal. Now, those guys are all experienced. If them players I mentioned come back in the mix, Greg, that is a completely different team. That would be stable in Division 2 and maybe pushed to get back in. Without those lads, you could actually go down again. So I think at the minute Donegal are going into this group stage in the Championship, Greg. It's 5 weeks away. It's a really tough job to think that we could beat anybody going into these group stages the way we're playing. So I think really we're already looking to, as you said, what's the next picture? We need to get young or maybe a management mix in here. The likes of the two guys, that Kevin and Lacey, would be a perfect fit. They say, right, guys, here's 4 years now. Mould this team back together and let's get Donegal GA on the up again, because at the minute it's sliding, Greg, continually.
Sure, but if you get them in with low expectations for a go at this, you know, group crack, maybe. Anyway, do you think also there's a responsibility on people? Fans will have their opinions and perfectly right to do so. As soon as they hand over their hard-earned cash, I think they have that right. I'm not sure, is it the same in other counties where people, you know, who always have an opinion but might be slow to rule themselves out of maybe getting involved, or who sort of float the idea that there might be sort of quasi involved, but they don't want their job, that they, I don't think an awful lot of that helps. Mm. You know, I think what we need is people who genuinely want to come in and be part of a team, you know, an actual selector, an actual trainer, an actual manager, rather than people sort of maybe, you know, throwing out statements here and there that disrupts things. And it's to kind of disrupt things for players as well. You know, they're just the exact same as us, except much more fitter and handsome. Yeah. But you know what I'm on about? Like,
yeah, there was a lot of disruptive stuff happened from people, ex-players and managers that released stuff in the media at the same time that, as you were saying, that bigger picture. So we got to probably pull these things apart. Now, they all do come together in one way. But I think it's a great time to take Donegal, you know, going into the seasons ahead. Because right now, I suppose, I've never seen the team probably at the ebb that they're at, the low ebb that they're at. So there'll be a bit of a buzz from getting that back, getting those players back in, and getting Donegal on the front foot again. And I think if you knew management in particular that came in, that still had experience from the likes of those lads that won the All-Ireland in 2012, I think that would be the nice, a good fit for Donegal.
I'll tell you what I think makes it attractive as well is that we are at the lowest ebb. To some extent, do you know what I mean? And anything from here, any wins, any good performances, you know, you'll get the fans behind you really, really quickly. Yeah. But I think even the most loyal of fans after yesterday feel a bit. And as I say, it's not down to the players or individual performances. And there's loads of families out there so proud that their young lads got a start and stuff. And we should never lose sight of that.
We got to address it.
To talk about,
but Greg, we have to address it. Have to address it quick because, you know, Cavan have gone to Division 4, Derry have gone to Division 4, Armagh have been in 3, you know, down there. Like, you know, those are all teams that with proud traditions with serious footballers. Mm. But we got to address this quick because before it goes any further. Because what you'll have in then, Greg, you'll have players in maybe turning to other sports. You'll have issues with sponsorship. You'll have different things.
Well,
You can't go out of two, Greg. It's very important that we get the right people in place for next year.
We could also be losing a generation through emigration if we're not careful as well. Yeah. You know, if they don't feel they have a reason to stay. People believe you're making excuses. I don't believe you are. I think for any conversation, you have to
make excuses for what?
I'd say the county board is what they're saying.
I'm not. Well, we didn't even address the county board. But listen, you know,
I'm guessing that's what they mean.
We're trying to analyse. I suppose that's where we're at, Greg. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we know what needs to happen in Donegal. But it's not like you just click your fingers and say right. This person and that person take the job. They have to want the job. That has to be something that they're into. But certainly at the minute, Donegal.
For your dream team, do you think there are other positions in the game in this country, in this county, that would need to be not in those positions anymore for that dream team, for example?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
Once you're given a job, like that, if you're in to do your job, you'll do it. There's very little interaction there. The only time like the likes of management need anything from the likes of a county board is really if they want a training camp or they need money for something. Apart from that, the management will train the team. It's got nothing to do with anybody else at officiating level.
Okay. Now, before that game, our Miners beat down.
Yes.
And also we had... So talk a little bit about that. I know you don't have a ton of time, but we've got another couple of minutes. Go on.
That's all right. No, listen, we end on good news, right? Because we
Hurlers did well as well.
The Hurlers and our Miners on the back of their victory over Fermanagh, they absolutely hammered Down. I mean, I was at the stage of, I felt sorry for the young Down lads. You know, it was 19 points in at the end. But listen, that's not our problem. Big game of Derry coming up. And of course, Derry and Donegal played in the pre-competition league final. Derry's underage is going phenomenal well, so that's where we're at. So fair play to Luke Barrett and his charges there, Brendan Kilcoyne and all the young lads, because they're absolutely flying. Yeah. It's great to see. And if you're looking for bright sparks, if you're thinking about a management coming in, if you have a wave of good young lads coming through, that's very important. So hopefully the season and championship keeps going well for them. And I say Mickey McCann and the Hurlers, phenomenal stuff. Another big one, and the Nicky Racker, they're going from strength to strength, and That's the big.
You're
plus
enjoying
point
that ride, aren't you? The senior Hurlers. I can tell it. And we know now.
Get behind the Hurlers, aren't they?
But all else fails. What a great couple of guests as well for a proper insight into what's going on and off the pitch in Donegal and Down, because you've got Kevin Cassidy, who you'll be chatting to very shortly, All-Ireland winning captain to DJ Kane. So two cracking guests that tease it all out.
And listen, I'll be talking, if you want to listen later, about, you know, what Kevin, I want an overview from Kevin being DJ. I'll talk more about the game and that. As I spoke to the Donegal manager, Aidan O'Rourke, after the game yesterday. That's up on the Highland Side. I spoke to Luke Baird as well. That's up on the Highland Side, highlandradio.com as well. Those interviews are up there, and we'll talk about what they had to say as well. And of course, we've got feedback from the hurling camp as well.
Just after 7 o'clock, you can listen to it live this evening, and it's a podcast as well for you to listen to whenever you want. You've got Brendan there, Kevin Cassidy, DJ Kane, and other great guests as well. And it's all brought to you in association with Sister Sarah's there in Letterkenny. All right, Brendan, listen, thanks for your time as always. Back shortly. In studio, we have Ciara Barber. Ciara, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you in.
Very welcome to be here.
And sitting over my shoulder here is a big plastic box full of stuff. A care package, it's called. You launched We Care Packages with your sister Siobhan. Presumably, that's a play on the words that we say, obviously. It's,
yes.
It's a wee thing.
A wee care package.
But
yeah.
We also do care, of course. Right, so there's a collection of these boxes. There's the chemo box, the radiation box, the sleep and relax box, and the deluxe box. This is an amazing thing here, Ciara. Where did the idea come from?
So it all started with myself. I had a brain tumour in 2018, so Christmas 2018. I was working in Dublin, and I came up for Christmas, and I was out a walk, actually, and I got a stutter. The words just... couldn't say what I wanted to say. And went back to work New Year's Eve, and it was kind of getting in the way of talking to my customers. And then I decided I would come up home to get a doctor's appointment. Mm. And I went to my own local doctors in Buncrana, and I was explaining the symptoms. And then as soon as I went in on that Monday, she sent me to Letterkenny for a scan. And like, I had just packed a bag for, I was coming up Sunday, down on the Tuesday, back to work. But no, so I was diagnosed with a
oligondroglioma. I don't know.
Okay, it's a rare brain tumour. Yeah. So I was in Letterkenny, I had my own ward, and on the day, like, 28 visitors came in to see me, and I was like, what is all doing here? Like, I'm fine. And then, yeah, they told us that it was a brain tumour.
Which is so scary diagnosis.
It was scary, at the time. And then, like, I think I was just in shock, pretty much, but I was laughing the whole way, and I'm a very positive person. I was grand, like, and then, obviously, everyone was really upset whenever they heard, and then...
Because you ended up, I would say, when you're the person that got the diagnosis, you're the person sitting in hospital, and what do we end up doing? Trying to make everyone around us feel okay, saying, don't worry about it, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it's funny, and it's not just in your case, it happens all the time, where people end up being the counsellor. You're sitting there waiting to go under, but you're trying to make everyone feel okay.
Yeah, that's exactly how
it's funny how it goes, isn't it?
Yeah, so then I was in Letterkenny, and then a bed came free in Beaumont. So then that was January 2019, you know. And then I had the operation, and then... they only could remove 95% of it.
Yes.
So the rest then, after the operation, I lost power on my right side, and I went back to work in April. Mm. Like, I just felt the longer I sat at home, I was becoming a patient.
Was your rehab getting back to work?
I had to learn to walk, because this one side of me, I couldn't really move and get my strength back and stuff, but they couldn't remove the whole tumour because I would be left... a vegetable.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's what, I didn't know this until after. And then I went back to work in Dublin in April, and then the following March then, so like I had my scans, my follow-up scans, it was April. It was just coming into COVID. Mm-hmm. So I had to do radio for 6 weeks down in Dublin, and then I had chemo after that, and then in between that I had to freeze my eggs. But the radio, I was down Monday to Friday in the lodge, and it was stressful.
It's
because
tough, isn't it?
The day that they told me that I needed chemo was the same day I was starting radio. So that's how the idea came about.
And before we get to that, how are you now?
So I'm great. Great.
Yeah. Excellent.
I think it was fight or flight when I was first diagnosed. Yeah. And then it all just hit me this year. I was like,
process in time.
Yeah. So I'm great. I contacted Cancer Care West in Letterkenny and great.
That's very important.
Back on track now.
By the way, because we often talk to Cancer Care Northwest, they you were able to talk to people who could help you process this massive life change.
Yep,
of course.
Because
you faced everything, didn't you?
Over.
And then there's they understand it, but we've spoken in the past. Just to encourage other people then, a lot of people who come through cancer or come through something like this here, then after a certain while, this intense fear that it's about to come back or something else could happen and all those things. I'm not attributing those emotions to you, Kira, but it's normal and natural. And that's why you speak to professionals through these organisations.
Yeah, like, and I'm...
Just to talk it through, because mom, dad, sister, brother, uncle, auntie, whoever is your closest person, they don't always get exactly what you're on talking about.
No, and it's nice talking to... So I actually joined a course in Derry as well, just after February. So between that, it was like how to deal with your emotions living with cancer and going through cancer. So between that and Letterkenny really, really helped me. But then, so me and my sister were sitting one night and we were like, right, what does people need when they're going through it? So we came up with the four boxes there.
Yeah, and I have. Which one is this box? Because there's different ones.
So that one would be, let me just see the
this
back
is the
there.
The wee care package. Yeah. This is the chemo.
Chemo box, So, okay. And then, so that's...
There's a series of boxes.
There is. So that's the sleep and relax box.
Right.
But you can open them up, do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
You can. That's why I took them off.
Do I? Okay, I feel like it was my birthday on Saturday, you know.
Oh, happy birthday. What age are you?
37. Right, so
that one is...
Oh, lovely, right, okay. Now this, I mean, the majority of people are listening, but some people, obviously there's quite a good few people watching as well, just to show them what's inside this box. So this is simple, but it's stuff that you might not have with you. So you've got slippers, you've got a mask, you've got fluffy... So everyone needs fluffy socks, don't they?
Yeah.
And then I presume, is that pyjamas or underneath, is it?
No, that's the blanket. So, blanket. And then they can be done for men and women.
Yes.
So I think I've took fluffy socks and...
I think I'd walk around.
There's lavender pillow spray and there's a bath bar. And then, so...
Talk to me about the pillow spray, because that seems like a... Well, why would you have pillow spray? But when you're in hospital...
Yeah, because you're not allowed to take flowers into hospital anymore. So what we've done is come up with four different boxes that you can buy someone. So our main aim is to help take a stressful situation out of an already... Take the stress out of an already stressful situation. So...
All right, this has got... this one has got gin tea.
And so that's an anti-sickness tea. And then there's the anti-sickness sweets. And then
beautiful
there's
water bottle,
a water bottle. Okay. There's a notebook, a word search book, a pen. You know, just bits that other people would need. But that's what I'm saying. There's both men and women. I have found that the women's are more popular.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe it's because we don't... Maybe that's not necessarily for the right reasons. You know, I wouldn't discourage anyone to getting one of these from a fella. For a fella, I think might want them just at the right time.
Yeah.
And you have put a lot of thought then, of course, into what to put in each box.
Yeah.
It's just the wee things that give you a lift as well. Is it? Well, make it a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, because you have to be cosy and comfortable whenever you are sick. And
it's really positive, like pulling on a pair of fluffy socks can just trigger
just a
positive
factor,
thing,
isn't it? Really, And then, so that's what we did. And we've only recently started to post, it's I'm not the best on social media, but I'm working on it,
know
you know what I mean?
And it's a learning curve for
it is,
as well.
It is, but I'm not one to sit about either, you know what I mean? And
so which one is this box?
That's the radiotherapy box.
Right, okay. So talk to us then why the selection process here. There's balms here. There's for dried lips and stuff, presumably, and what have you.
Whenever I was going through radiotherapy, it was my skin was really, really dry. So there's body lotion, there's a foot mask, there's a heated eye mask, there's a word search book. Because when you're sitting waiting for your treatment or whatever, you need something to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Pass the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Lovely stuff. Right, so when did you launch all this?
It was launched last year, maybe.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of did markets and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Siobhan's actually emigrated to Spain. So
well,
I'm
well done, Siobhan.
Sole trader.
We started this together.
she abandoned ship after Christmas. So, no, she still does some of the social media side of things. But, So then after Christmas, then I put a bit more time and effort
Brilliant.
Into got the flyers and all done.
Excellent. So the packages are the radiation box, the chemo box, the sleep and relax box, the deluxe box. And they're all priced, I don't see the benefit in reading them out, but look, from 27,000. I'm too busy talking about government money here. 27 euro up to 55 bar the shouting for the deluxe box.
Yeah.
I think there's lots of different people would benefit from this. Obviously, not the recipients, but dare I say, maybe fellas might struggle to know what to get the other half if they're going through something like this
and
here.
It doesn't even have to be cancer related. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
because everybody likes a nice hot bath and can chill out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
okay, so where can people buy these We Care packages?
So on Facebook, Instagram, or just WhatsApp me. My number and everything's on.
Right. And it's WEE Care Packages if you're searching it on the social media.
I have to say, my friend Andrew came up with that idea because
right, Andrew,
it's
well
his
done.
Birthday today too. So
happy birthday,
happy birthday
what
Andrew.
What age is he?
30, 31.
Oh, what a joke.
Yeah, okay. No, so that's where it, you know, that's where we came up with the
And
idea.
This could be anyone for a hospital stay, someone going into hospital to have a baby or anything like that there or whatever it might be. It doesn't have to be down in St. Vincent's or wherever for Letterkenny University Hospital or any care setting or at home even as well. You know what I mean? It's a nice thing that someone else has put together for them.
Yeah. And instead of having, because whenever people hear the word cancer or whatever illness, they panic. And they want to do something, but they don't know what to do.
Yeah, or how to do it.
How
correct.
To do it.
Yeah,
so exactly. What we've done is we've come up with pre-packaged care packages that will just take the ease out of that stressful situation for them.
I don't know what your view, not your view of the healthcare service. I'm not saying it was bad to begin with, but having gone through it and everything that you've been through and the care, the diagnosis, the care, the aftercare, what was the experience like for you? It was through COVID, so it kind of
It was very different. It was like the bus, actually, the Letterkenny Cancer Care bus, very good. They collected me on a Monday morning at the Lifford roundabout to stop us, you know, coming. So mum and dad would have left me there on the Monday morning. The bus left me off there on the Friday. So I was in Beaumont for radiotherapy Monday to Fridays for 6 weeks. And so my family did a head shave for them. Back before I started chemo, so they raised like I think 7,000 something.
Wow.
Yep. My brother Cahill, my sister Siobhan, and my uncle Luke all shaved their heads.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great. Like
brilliant.
And then
I have to do waxing if I'm going to do something out there.
Yeah.
Not that I have much to wax either, but anyway,
well,
that's another story. And also, there's an event coming up in May as well, is it?
Yeah, my mum's 60th, so she is going to do
coffee
she
morning.
She is going
isn't
to
it?
Do a coffee morning in O'Flaherty's in Buncrana, and all the proceeds will be going to the hematology and the oncology for Letterkenny Hospital.
Brilliant.
And then there's actually a craft fair on this Sunday as well.
Yeah.
So I'll be
see
at
if I have
that
information here in front of me.
In Buncrana.
Lovely.
In the boys' club.
All right, well done. Well, fair play to everything you're doing. If Siobhan hadn't fled, would she have been in here or you? Who's the chatty one?
Me.
Okay, right.
She's the social media one,
kind of.
And then I love shopping and talking and, you know.
Brilliant stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I think it's a lovely thing. I think it fixes, I think all great inventions or businesses, really what they have to do is they have to solve a problem.
Yeah.
And that's I think this does as well because I think it makes it easier for people who don't necessarily know what to get to get and then they
Absolutely.
Feel they're doing something, right? And B, you know yourself and from talking to others, this is what people want to receive and it's targeted to what they're going through.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. Listen, it's been lovely having you in, Kira. Is there anything else you want to mention? Just to remind people, if you want to have a look at the products or order them, search out We Care Packaging, WEE Care Packaging, Packages, sorry. I keep saying packaging,
packages.
Sorry. We Care Packages. And you can view the collection there and order and support Ciara. Are you full-time in this as now, Ciara, or is it sort of...
It's kind of just starting off small,
excellent.
But hopefully
yeah.
down
well,
the
that's
line.
That's the right way,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, because I'm not one for sitting about, and I wouldn't be able to work full-time yet anyways with yeah. it, so it's nice that I'm able to excellent. Do this. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Listen, you've done really well. Thank you so very much indeed.
No problem.
And good luck with the fair coming up. Good luck with your mother's
60th birthday. She's not good at past 59.
right, okay. She's just say she's approaching 50, just from the wrong side.
Yes, isn't, there you go.
All right, that's actually a quote from Dame Edna Everidge, believe it or not, who's passed away during the weekend. But anyway, listen, thank you very much, Ciara. I'm delighted to see that you're doing well and hear that you're doing well.
Yes.
And I wish you all the success in the world with what you're doing there.
Thank
and I hope
much.
People support you in what you're doing. Thanks again for Ciara for calling up and best of luck with her future endeavours there. Now, you might remember former election candidate and member of the Letterkenny Sudanese community, Thawiba Ahmed's been on this show in the past and talked about the situation in Sudan and concerns in Sudan. And we also know now that things have got very serious over there, and there's all talk of getting various nationalities out of Sudan. But that doesn't necessarily help the millions of people who live there, of course. There's a food crisis and other matters as well, not to mention with a war ongoing, the dangers that presents. Thawiba joins us again. Good morning to you. Thanks for taking us taking the time to talk to us this morning. I appreciate it.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
So really, to some extent, these are the concerns you've expressed in the past really coming to the fore now. Thawiba, what's the history of this conflict?
You know, we have been calling for intervention by the international community to solve the problem throughout 4 years, protesting and calling. And, you know, I'll talk to about the history. General Al Burhan, who is the leader of the armed Sudanese force, and General Hemeti, who is the leader of, you know, the Rapid Support Force. This Rapid Support Force created on 2013, and both of those generals committed genocide in Darfur. Both of them were there, and they were demanded by the ICC. And in name, we were calling on them to be like taken or sanctioned or personal sanction on them, because we know how dangerous the situation with them. And also, both of them are controlling like economic stuff. And I'm sure that because of the crime they are committing, and because of the benefit and, you know, the privilege that they have, they will not like hand over the power.
And in terms of
the problem,
of course, in terms of public support, do both factions split the support, share the support, or you know, if there were a poll of the people of Sudan, would it be conclusive one way or other?
You know, the majority of the people in Sudan are against all of this. And they were, in the past, they were the friends of the past, and they committed the brutal break of the sitting in Sudan, if you remember that, 2019. And they also committed the military coup in Sudan in October 2021. They were the friends of the past, and now they are the enemies of now, of today. And in both situations, the Sudanese people are paying the price.
And talk to me about your family and friends. They live, or some of them live, in the areas currently under attack. Are you able to make contact with them? What is life like for them at the moment? They don't have the luxury of international special forces coming to remove them from the country, of course.
Unfortunately, you know, the humanitarian situation for all the people is really devastated. No internet sometimes, no water, no electricity, and there is no also supermarkets or anywhere to get their food, their daily life. It is really very, very hard. Plus the terror and the horror. I have a story from my niece. I remember like 2-3 days ago, I was talking to her all the night. She's 9 years old. She was silent for 5 days. And then when she heard the gunfire and the fighter jets and all of that. She was in hysteria. I was trying to calm her down because she's scaring her siblings. That goes on for the whole night until the next day. It is like a horror movie. You know, they just escape from that place to another place, safer place, and then they need to move again. It is unbelievable. It's heartbreaking.
What is the conclusion of this, Thawiba? You know, I mean, it's escalated. If there's no external intervention here, could this spread? What could eventually happen that's worse than what's already happening, which is terrible?
I think the escalation will go like more after the diplomatic like evacuated or the foreign people evacuated. You know, they will face their destiny over there. You just feel helpless when you look at the situation. You feel just helpless. What you can do for them, trying to do your best, you know, to save people. But from this, you know, from this place, I want to call to the international community and everybody, you know, to help with the humanitarian aid and support. And also to find, like, safe passages for the people of Sudan, for the civilian.
Because at the moment,
the same way that they evacuate. Yeah.
At the moment, it's financially impossible for most people even to flee the danger, isn't it? It costs an awful lot of money, and that will be exploited too, don't you know?
You will not imagine, yesterday I was talking to them to move from this, you know, city, and it depends on luck, you know, how they can, like, navigate their way and go there safely. And they said the ticket from one town to another, like 4 hours away, €1,000 per person. €1,000.
I heard Micheál Martin today saying that they are exploring offering humanitarian help, not humanitarian help as such, but even maybe getting people out of there for Sudanese who are Irish citizens now, who live here now. Is that something you think might benefit you or your family that are trapped there currently?
I hope so, if it is possible, but I am also concerned about the whole situation in Sudan and all the people of Sudan. I hope if there is a bigger solution, you know, like ceasefire or stopping those, you know, people who are fighting or like sanctions. I want the international community to take it serious, because during the 4 years, they are not taking that serious. It is about the interest of some countries and intervention from other countries. It is like regional or international. They don't look to the Sudanese people. They
and it's
don't
very
at all.
Much
they haven't been listened to.
And the strange thing is it's very much in the international community's best interests to establish peace there. Because, you know, these types of wars, this type of conflict displace people. And then everybody's crying then as to, you know, why people are fleeing Sudan and all the stuff that goes along with that. I presume the majority of Sudanese people want to live in Sudan, but they want to live there with food and in safety. So it is very much in the international community's interest. You could make the argument that they do all they can to settle things down, to find a peace and to find prosperity in Sudan.
I don't want to say it is too late, but it has been like 4 years and it was very clear. And all the Sudanese people are saying what they want. And it was a revolution with millions of people. But we haven't been listened to, you know, like every country is not taking that serious. At least we said those two people, like the head of what is going on, we call them by name, but nothing being done because some countries are distracted and in reality seeking interest, you know, and intervention will make it like worse. There is some news now about Wagner, if you know, the militia is now supporting like Hamiti and maybe other countries, and the weapon will be like flowing inside Sudan, which, you know, like making it like shattered. But unfortunately, sometimes we feel that they want it to shatter so everybody can take piece of the cake. Sudan is a very rich country.
Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately.
I mean, it must be incredibly difficult for you to be on the phone to a family member, being able to hear gunfire in the attack. And of course, you can use your platform to try and get the message out there, but you're helpless and you feel helpless, I'm sure.
100%.
Yeah, okay. Listen, thanks for your time as always. I appreciate you giving us your insight into what's going on, and I hope I hope that a solution is found as soon as is possible. Thank you very much indeed, Thawiba Ahmed there, who is originally from Sudan, of course, and has spoken extensively on this program about the concerns she has in Sudan, but also living here now, Irish now. Okay, 086 60 25,000. Got a card in from a listener to say, Dear Greg, could you please play a very special... Oops, that's tomorrow. Could have been a spoiler alert. That's why I should have handed this stuff to Caroline, because I'm useless. I'll do that tomorrow if you're listening, by the way. Appreciate you taking the effort to put a card in. Congratulations to Kira on all her hard work. We're extremely proud of you. Love from all your aunties, uncles and cousins in Carndonagh. And why wouldn't you be proud? She comes across as a brilliant woman. Greg, didn't you have Mary T. Sweeney on advertising, indeed warning about the seriousness of this RZLT a few months ago? It was only then that many people learned about it and realised it was confiscating the rights of these landowners concerned. Of course, and that's what we do in this programme. We try and identify through guests or what have you what's coming up and try and give it extensive coverage. The same we did with the Dunfanaghy Health Centre. It's great to see that come to fruition now. Lovely interview with Kira, such a lovely bubbly personality. The care packages are a lovely idea and thoughtfully put together. That comes in from Evelyn. I agree, Evelyn. They are really, really nice and probably just what you might need at just the right time. Okay, Tom McAvoy is the community fundraising manager with... That's it. It'd be good if I took him into the conversation. We'll get to Tom in a second. Stay right where you are. Caller says, club football in Donegal is terrible. Only four good teams there, which is the harsh appraisal from a listener there. Right, now, Tom McAvoy is community fundraising manager with Pieta. He joins us now. Good morning to you, Tom. Great to have
good
you
morning,
back on
Greg.
The show. Okay. Here we go again. Another year has passed. Pieta House's annual Darkness into Light Walk takes place on Saturday, May 6th. And already out and about, I'm hearing people talking about where they're going to do it and all that kind of stuff. How important is Darkness into Light in the Pieta calendar?
It is our flagship fundraising event for the year, Greg. Brings in roughly a third of our income for the year. So we are very reliant on it. And especially during the pandemic, you might remember I was on your station calling for help because we were really in a difficult position. We're glad to say now that the walks have regained a status back in our calendar. This year, there are 13 events taking place throughout Donegal, 15 throughout Northern Ireland, and in particular, there are some islands doing it again for a number of years, Aramore and Tory Island. So it just brings a sense of compassion, you know, togetherness, solidarity when somebody decides to take part in the event. As you know, the event, it's in its 10th year now in Letterkenny. So we are really proud to say that event, you know, has a long life in Donegal. You know, we're thankful so much to the community for helping to continue the fundraising that happens through Darkness into Light, but also a sense, you know, of togetherness and solidarity with each other, especially after a bereavement to suicide, that people can attend an event and feel safe to speak to somebody else who they might feel they can share a story with. Yeah.
And I think, too, it's important that everyone looks after themselves, and people who've lost someone to suicide, that it's important they seek help as well. Because I have spoken to people in the past, or there have been cases in the past where maybe they haven't, and they take part in one of these events, and it can set them back a little bit as well. So I think I just want to take a moment to think about those who've lost someone to suicide, to make sure that they are processing it, that they have got support if they need to, and that they're in a good place to attend something like this, because sometimes when it's all over, it hasn't achieved what they might want it to achieve, and it could make their life a little bit more difficult. Now, I'm talking about probably a very small amount of people, Tom. I just wanted to talk to them today as well to make sure they're looking after themselves.
And I would also like to speak to them, because we truly realise how difficult it is to deal with a suicide in your family, friendship, companionship, whatever it is. And just to let people know that we are there for them in the community in Donegal. We have a great centre in Letterkenny, where, you know, we're seeing roughly 200 clients a year. We were on average seeing 65 sessions a week, and especially around bereavement support. Suicide bereavement support can be very difficult to rationalise. And, you know, for those who are dealing and struggling with it at the moment, lift the phone to 1800 247 247, where somebody will attend to you and, you know, deal with your crisis call, if that's what it is. And, you know, make sure that you get the help that you deserve. We are there for everybody in the country, all ages, Greg, you know, from people as young as six to people in their 80s have attended a Pieta. And, you know, that's truly what Darkness Into Light is about, is making sure that that service continues to be free of charge. And we'd like to also extend our thanks to Electric Ireland for helping to support our event once again for the 13th year. So thank you.
Of course. And just to add on to that, if you don't mind, everyone deals with grief and loss differently. There's no rule book or handbook, and none of this, what we're talking about, is trying to suggest that there is, but just though sometimes people see other people getting on differently in it, and you know, everyone is individual. Right, so how do people, like, I'm going to be shamelessly parochial here and say that I would say we probably have the top 13 Darkness Into Light walks in Ireland, in Donegal. They all just happen to be better than everywhere else, right? Because our scenery and our people are so beautiful, right? So how do people register or find out where their local walk is, and how do they get involved, Tom?
Well, you're so right, Greg, because every venue in Donegal is so beautiful, is right. And we challenge people perhaps even to consider maybe going to another Donegal venue for the first time, perhaps this year, if they would like to change their aspect. Yes, darknessintolight.ie is the site that people can go to. You can also find it on dil.ie. And if you'd like to register yourself to take part in one of the 13 venues throughout Donegal, we'd be absolutely delighted. If you can do some fundraising for us as well, thank you for doing that. You help continue our service, which is so needed at the moment. We're seeing an increase in under 18s attending Pieta, and, you know, it is a challenge for our society to make sure that that the services are there for everybody who needs them in the country, and especially in the Donegal region.
And those younger people often avail of the Amber Flag programme in schools. It encourages young people to understand their mental health and allow them to speak in safe spaces, because it's great saying it's good to talk, and that's it. And by the way, I'm in no way cutting the legs from that saying, but we have to talk about where you talk, who you talk to, what you talk about, you know, because it has to be constructive and proactive, and it has to be a pathway to you feeling better as well. We can't get hooked up on phrases, I don't think.
Well, in fairness, schools are offering great choices for young people nowadays. They're offering, you know, the different ways of looking at life and the challenges that are confronting our young people. Referral pathways are so important. There are great guidance counsellors in most schools now available, you know, to people who maybe are looking for some extra help trying to deal with an issue. So, you know, please reach out. You know, even parents listening here this morning, Greg, you can, you know, reach out to Pieta if you wish to know how to deal with a challenge maybe in your child or in your young person at home that might need extra help, by ringing that number that I referred to earlier, 1800 247 247, and you will get extra help if you need it. So, yes, you're dead right, Greg. The challenges are that, you know, we need to know, and, you know, that referral for somebody who's in a difficult position is really, really paramount.
All right, listen, thanks for your time as always, Tom. Tom McAvoy, Community Fundraising Manager with Pieta. Pieta's annual Darkness Into Light walks take place on Saturday the 6th of May. If you're interested in that, you can go onto the website to register. Darknessintolight.ie. Dil gets them to dil.ie. Right, okay, that is it. Can you believe where has this morning gone? That's another Monday in the bag. I want to thank the team here for taking your calls. So Caroline, researching and producing, of course, and supported by Niamh as well. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9.